Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the AXA Full Year 2025 Earnings Presentation. Currently, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. You will then hear an automated message advising your hand is raised. To withdraw your question, please press star one again. Please note that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker, Anu Venkataraman. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to AXA's Full Year 2025 Results Presentation. Presenting the results today are our Group CEO, Thomas Buberl, Global Head of Finance, Strategy, Underwriting, Risk, and Technology, Guillaume Borie, and our Group CFO, Alban de Mailly Nesle. In addition, we also have in the room Patrick Cohen, CEO of AXA European Markets and Health, Mathieu Godart, CEO of AXA France, and Scott Gunter, CEO of AXA XL. With that, I turn it over to Thomas.
Thank you, Anu. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us for our Full Year 2025 Results Presentation. As you have seen from the numbers, we had a record performance with the group that is now positioned exactly where we want it to be. A pure insurance player with every business and every geography contributing positively to both the top and the bottom line. I'm extremely pleased with these strong results across the board. You see that the top line has grown by 6%, which is reflecting the strengths of our franchise. You also have seen that the underlying earnings per share have grown by 8%, which is the top of our target range. This all happened while we were enhancing our reserve prudence and were absorbing significant headwinds. For example, the adverse foreign exchange development we had last year, and also the temporary dilution from the sale of AXA IM. All of this happens on a very strong balance sheet with 5.6 billion cash at the holding company and a Solvency II ratio that remains high post-grandfathering of the debt at 215%. We expect a further 17% uplift from the Solvency II revision that will kick in on the 1st of January 2027. This is a very solid position, and in the current environment, also a needed position to absorb shocks. The return on equity is at 16%, which enables us to fund organic growth and to sustain an attractive payout to our shareholders. We have also now completed the 3.8 billion euro share buyback that was related to the sale of AXA IM. So in total, we are very well positioned, strongly capitalized, and we are delivering consistent high-quality growth in the top and the bottom line. When we look at this year, and based on this record performance, I am very confident that we can deliver underlying earnings per share for this year at the top end of our target range. If we move to the next slide, our performance this year reflects a very disciplined execution on all fronts, which are growth, margin, and efficiency, while at the same time, we are continuing to invest in our business. The top line growth, as I mentioned earlier, was 6% and is well balanced across all lines of business. At the same time, we also increased our margins, which reflects a disciplined growth, a deployment of machine learning and predictive AI, in particular in pricing and underwriting, and also a reduced leakage in claim settlement through better analytics and tighter processes. We have also made good progress in delivering efficiency through technology and automation. the underlying earnings, if you exclude AXA IM, which we sold and closed by the middle of last year, grew by +9% on a constant currency basis. More importantly, these earnings are of very high quality. We do not have to fix any business anymore or have benefited from any turnarounds or one-time effects. In fact, we have taken advantage of strong earnings to reinforce prudence across all lines of business. What I would particularly like to highlight is the P&C performance. This is a stellar performance, 9% earnings growth, resilience pricing, including XL, a lower current year loss ratio, excluding Nat Cat, a reduced expense ratio, strong investment income, and as I mentioned earlier, further reserve prudence. The life and health results are also of high quality. They have grown by 7% in earnings. We see a strong commercial momentum. We see higher net flows across all geographies. And what was important for us in 2025 was to particularly work on the short-term technical results, and you've seen that there is a 15% increase. While we also have a strong CSM release that is driven by reserve growth and improved margin on our in-force portfolio. This has also allowed us to build additional prudence on both technical experience and fund distribution. So we are delivering strong earnings growth in line with our commitments, while further strengthening the resilience of our earnings across all lines of business. This performance reflects the quality of a well-diversified, strong insurance franchise and the deliberate strategic actions that we have taken over the last decade to reposition AXA and strengthen the execution. So we are very confident that we can sustain this performance. And as I said, my view for this year is that we can clearly deliver an underlying earnings per share at the top end of our range. If we go to the next slide and take a step back and look at the industry, it is in very good shape, with profitability and capital being at strong levels. The insurance industry is certainly also benefiting from structural growth drivers that support sustainable long-term expansion across all lines of business. When you look, for example, in retail, we see growing protection gaps from under insurance, especially amongst the modest income customers. And this is obviously fueling demand for more affordable and accessible coverage. When you look at emerging risks such as autonomous vehicles, cyber, data centers, energy transition, these are creating new and attractive growth avenues in the commercial and specialty lines. When you think about life and health, we are confronted today with aging demographics. We have pressure on public systems, and we have demand for private health protection and retirement solutions, in particular in the countries where public systems have not delivered. And if you think about the UK, this is probably a very illustrative case. AXA today is well positioned to benefit from all of these opportunities because we have a broad and strong distribution footprint to capture these opportunities. For example, we are expanding in direct distribution, and we are forging partnerships to reach modest income customers. And in particular in Europe, this has been a very successful journey over the last year. We have deep technical expertise to underwrite risks profitably. AXA XL has been insuring autonomous driving technology for some time now, and we are amongst very few insurers that have the engineering and risk management expertise to underwrite, for example, larger data centers and digital infrastructure. Our scale, and it was always very important for us to be in fewer countries but have scale, enables us to deliver competitive products to our customers. And we obviously, given that scale continues to increase, we intend to continue to drive down our unit costs as we go along. Importantly, we have a very trusted brand, and we are and will remain a long-term partner to our customers. So if you look forward, there is plenty of opportunities ahead, and we are well placed to capture them, and my team and I are very excited about the future growth opportunities. If we go to the next slide, page six, and looking at this year, our priorities are obviously twofold, because on the one hand side, we have to deliver the current plan, and as I said, I'm very confident that we'll be delivering at the top end of our range, so that we have a good delivery for this current three-year plan. But on the other hand, we also lay the foundations for the future success. As a CEO, I have to identify and execute a few decisive moves to secure our long-term competitiveness. Today, my biggest strategic priority is to continue to transform our business. When we talk about transformation, we don't talk about moonshots. Our goal is really, together, to create a consistent and sustainable value for our shareholders. And obviously, in this equation, our customers do remain at the center of everything. This transformation I would like to design with my team along four dimensions. First, we see AI as an absolute enabling technology that can create tremendous benefits for companies that can leverage it well. For us, AI is an efficiency play, but not only, because AI will change how customers access insurance. It will change the personalizations in products, and it will also change the customer experience. And so we want to be strongly positioned for the shift. Secondly, AI is already improving pricing accuracy, underwriting quality, and claims management because we have a lot of data, often also a lot of unstructured data, and AI will help us to leverage them not only for the underwriting decisions to make today, but also using all the historic data we've got. And AI is also absolutely key to continue to develop our own tech cycles. When you think about further developing our tech landscape, when you think about making sure that our data foundations are stronger, and so we work with very tangible cases that are now ready to scale. Secondly, AI also enables us to increase the efficiency and agility of our business so we can adapt to this constantly changing environment. As you know from the past, AXA is a company that is not afraid of change. We have a history of making bold moves, and we will continue now making these bold moves in an environment that is more driven by organic development. Third, we intend to enhance our capital allocation discipline even more to focus on the highest return growth and the best investment opportunities. Finally, and that is very important in a period like this, we aim to build resilience to drive greater predictability and reliability in our performance. You've seen that over the years, we have strengthened our diversification enormously, not only just across geographies or lines of business, but also across our customer segments and distribution. And we'll continue this journey to ensure that we always have a robust balance sheet and a robust risk management framework. Our ambition is to be a winner in our industry, the preferred insurer for our customers, a place that can not only attract the best talents, but can also compound great value for our shareholders. Thank you, and I'm now handing over to Guillaume Borie.
Thank you very much, Thomas, and good morning to all of you. It's a pleasure being with you this morning for my first time presenting the group results in my new position and doing it on a day where we announce excellent results. As Thomas mentioned, the group is very well positioned today, and therefore our priority should be to safeguard this performance and, where possible, take it to the next level. We will do that starting from a solid platform. As you can see on this page, arguably our businesses are firing up on all cylinders. All our businesses, all our geographies have delivered excellent performance in 25, both on top line and bottom line. Specifically, we are particularly happy with AXA XL results. Earnings are up 9% with stable, excellent margins and selective, profitable growth. XL is a highly diversified franchise, both across geographies and by line of business, each with its own dynamics. So what those results are demonstrating is our ability to capture profitable growth opportunities while managing the cycle and therefore growing our earnings. On this page, you also see that France is an excellent performer. Clearly, it's a core engine for the group, and those results are showing our resilience in the current environment in this country. And you also see that our businesses in Europe, across eight countries where we have solid positions, keep delivering consistently with strong contribution to the group performance. Let me now turn to our P&C businesses. Thomas insisted earlier on our disciplined execution on all fronts. And when I look at P&C in 25, for us, it's the perfect example of this discipline, consistent execution to deliver strong performance. Earnings are up 9%, but what's most important is that we're improving in all ways. Attritional ratio down, expense ratio down, lower PYDs, higher investment income, and we enhanced our reserves buffers. So how have we delivered this all together? We are following an operational playbook that is adapted to each of our three businesses in P&C that have more or less each the same size. Look at retail and SME mid-market. A year of excellent performance. Those businesses together represent 2/3 of our P&C business. And in those businesses, we delivered margin expansion while gaining market share in a favorable pricing environment. That's particularly true for the retail business, with strong net new contracts and further improvement in an already excellent profitability. Looking ahead on those businesses, with those margins at excellent level, we will focus on further strengthening distribution to improve customer retention and enlarge the addressable market. It goes with reinforcing our proprietary agent network, further investing in our digital capabilities, but also forging new strategic distribution partnerships. Look at what we did in Europe in 25 with Correos in Spain or Lloyds Bank in the UK. It does give us access to new customer pools to further boost our growth. And last but not least, in retail, we are strengthening our direct channels. It complements our excellent traditional distribution networks, and it helps us better meet evolving customer expectations. As you know, 25 was the year of Prima's acquisition. At XL, on the other hand, and as we mentioned earlier, earnings are up 9%, and again, with an excellent underlying performance. No PYDs, excellent results, clear demonstration of our ability to grow and best manage the cycle. I would like to make something very clear on XL. Yes, the commercial market has become more competitive, but yes, also, we see attractive, profitable opportunities we can capture thanks to the diversity of our book. Thomas mentioned it, we are a major player in energy transition, in insuring complex engineering risks, in insuring autonomous vehicle technology, and so on and so forth. So we expect growth to continue on this path in 2026 and beyond, and it will support profitability at XL. Alban will come back to that in a minute. So we are entering the next years with our P&C business from a position of strength, with all businesses contributing, best-in-class margins, and distribution reinforced. But we should not be complacent with this strong position. We do see further levers that will help us sustain profit growth going forward. And the good news is that those levers are fully in our hands. First, our expense ratio is already competitive, but we believe we can go further. We remain focused on further margin expansion through efficiency gains. This has already contributed in 2025. It will become an even more important driver in the coming years in this business. Second, clearly, investment income will be a tailwind. It's supported by higher asset base, given our strong growth, as well as, obviously, higher reinvestment yields. And last but not least, as part of our data and AI roadmap, we will upgrade our pricing, underwriting, and claims management processes. Already today, we have realized 1 point of loss ratio benefit from our AI initiatives. This will be a major lever to ensure that we are well-positioned in the future and further enhance our technical excellence. Moving now to Life and Health. There also, it's been a year of disciplined execution. Disciplined execution to sustain earnings growth. You see solid performance of 7% growth, and where basically we did what we said we would do. In the long-term business, 2025 shows the first tangible outcomes of our strategy to rejuvenate our products and distribution. Life is back. Net inflows improved significantly across all geographies, and this supports CSM release over time with early benefits already visible in 2025. Alban will come back to it. On the short-term business, we grow our technical margin by 15%, while at the same time, as Thomas indicated, we absorbed the 0.1 billion impact of a legislative change on recoverability of VAT in Mexico. So what does it demonstrate on the short-term business? The very fact that we have now a resilient health portfolio. The health business grew earnings by 17% in 2025, despite this headwind. It does reflect the benefits of disciplined pricing, underwriting, and claims management initiatives taken over the last 2 years through our dedicated health business unit. So from this strong year, we are well-positioned to capture the increasing opportunities we see and that were underlined by Thomas. A rising demand and rising protection gaps, both on retirement and savings and on health and protection. We believe that in Life and Health, we have laid solid foundations to capture profitable growth going forward. In retirement, it will come with rejuvenated offer and complementing our product range with protection features. To that extent, with the sale of AXA IM, we can now work in open architecture and source best-in-class asset management products to best match our customer needs. This long-term partnership with BNP will broaden our product offerings, notably in equities and ETF, but it will also enable us to access competitive products of other third-party asset managers. This will drive future growth of our savings business. When you go to health and protection over the coming years, we believe there also that we can further enhance underwriting, reduce the impact of fraud, waste and abuse through artificial intelligence, and that those initiatives will further strengthen our competitive position. Before leaving the floor to Alban and to conclude, I would like to insist on the quality of our execution in 25. We believe this is the best tribute to the strong commitment of our teams across the world. Our commitment to deliver our plan with strong discipline. Our commitment to best leverage and further transform our unique insurance franchise. And yes, our commitment to deliver sustainable, predictable, consistent earnings growth. We will follow the same discipline and leverage the same commitment to take us to the next level and sustain, in the next years, our performance with a strong focus on execution in three main areas where we see strong potential. And again, three areas where we have everything in our hands. We do want to have an even more ambitious tech and AI agenda. Why so? To unlock our organic growth potential. We do want to extract more efficiencies from a deeper operational transformation that we are extremely committed to execute. And last but not least, we do want to continue to maintain our discipline on capital management. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm happy to leave the floor to Alban.
Thank you, Guillaume, and good morning to all. So let me now go through the key numbers of 2025, starting with P&C. So as Thomas and Guillaume said, we delivered excellent P&C results with earnings up 9%. And as was said, we achieved these results while enhancing reserve prudence. All the drivers, growth, technical margin, expenses, and investment income contributed to the earnings growth. So first, premiums. Premiums grew by 5% with a good balance between pricing and volume and with strong contribution of all our lines of business. P&C combined ratio improved further to 90.6% with a 30 bps improvement in undiscounted attritional loss ratio, a further 30 bps improvement in the expense ratio, reflecting our efficiency measures. NatCat stood at 3.4%, below the 4.5 points budget for the second year in a row. And we had a low reliance on PYD at minus 1.1 point. So all our lines of business are performing well. In P&C personal and in commercial lines, excluding AXA XL, the undiscounted attritional loss ratio and expense ratio improved by 90 bps in both lines. Going forward, we expect sustained growth and further margin improvement in personal lines and SME and mid-market. And you know that both represent together two-thirds of our P&C business. At AXA XL Insurance, margins were stable, with a combined ratio at 91% with no PYDs, demonstrating our ability to grow while managing the cycle. At AXA XL Re, the combined ratio remains at a very attractive level of 81%. Overall, earnings grew by 9% at AXA XL and 18% at AXA XL Insurance specifically. Investment income was also a strong contributor, reflecting a higher asset base and reinvestment yields, more than offsetting the 0.2 billion mechanical increase in unwind. Overall, high quality results with good growth in top line, improvement in technical margins and expenses, and growth in investment income. This growth in profitability was off a clean base with no businesses in turnaround. Moving on to life and health, premiums were up 8%, earnings were up 7%, and both our short-term and long-term businesses delivered strong performance. In short-term life and health, insurance revenues were up 10%. Technical margins grew by 15% while absorbing 0.1 billion impact from a legislative change in the recoverability of VAT in Mexico. Adjusting for this impact, the combined ratio would have improved by 80 bips. These results demonstrate the quality of our health franchise, and we expect margins to continue to expand as we earn the benefits of underwriting and claims management actions. On top, we expect to see better profitability in Mexico as we take actions to offset the impact of the VAT change. In long-term life and health, our efforts to rejuvenate the savings business are paying off. We see solid momentum with strong top-line growth and improving net flows. In life in particular, our new business CSM was up 4%, but that's in fact plus 6% if you strip out the negative impacts of the higher interest rates on the discounted value of new business CSM. And we are very happy with those growth numbers. CSM release grew by 8%. This reflects reserve growth from positive net flows, from the annual interest credited to policyholders in general account, and the favorable impact of equity market returns in unit-linked. On top, 2025 CSM release was rebased to reflect better margins. So this is a good base from which to grow, but at a pace more in line with our guidance of greater than 3%. We took advantage of strong CSM release growth to be prudent in fund distribution and long-term technical performance. So overall, very good performance in both short-term and long-term businesses. And we are confident in sustaining this momentum. Moving on to net income. Overall, at group level, we delivered plus 6% underlying earnings growth. Excluding XIM, underlying earnings growth is plus 9%. Net income obviously benefited from the 2.2 billion gain from the sale of XIM, and that was partly offset by unfavorable impact from FX and change in fair value of derivatives. Overall, plus 8% growth in underlying earnings per share at the top end of our target range. And we achieved this strong performance while enhancing reserve prudence, as I said, and absorbing headwinds, minus 2 points from FX and minus 1 point from the temporary dilution from the sale of AXA IM. And finally, moving on to Solvency II. Our Solvency II ratio was 224% at the end of 25. And as you know, as of January 1, 2026, we have the end of the grandfathering period. So the pro forma Solvency II ratio at January 1, 26 was 215%. But in addition, we currently estimate an uplift of 17 points from the Solvency II revision. This estimate is based on the January 1st, 26 balance sheet and may obviously slightly change depending on the conditions that will prevail in Q1 27 when Solvency II revision will come into effect. We do not expect the Solvency II revision to impact normalized capital generation. Our robust balance sheet provides us with additional capital flexibility, notably to reduce leverage. So overall, we are very pleased with our 2025 performance. We had solid delivery on top line and bottom line across all segments. The group is in excellent shape with strong underlying trends across our businesses. And we are confident to deliver at the upper end of the 6 to 8% target range in 2026. So going into 2026, what are the trends to have in mind? P&C. So at AXA XL, we have room to grow earnings in 2026, reflecting the attractive growth opportunities while maintaining stable margins, ex-CAT. In P&C retail and in P&C commercial lines, ex-XL, pricing remains supportive and we see good growth opportunities. We expect margins to further improve, ex-CAT. And as a reminder, our normalized CAT load is 4.5%. We also expect financial results to grow in 2026, reflecting further increase in investment income, albeit at a slower pace than in 2025, and stable insurance finance expense at minus 1.4 billion. In life and health, in short-term business, we expect revenue growth and expansion in margins, including from the progressive recovery in Mexico, reflecting the actions that we have taken to offset the VAT change. In long-term business, improving net flow trend in life from commercial momentum and better persistency will fuel earnings growth over time. We will continue to drive efficiency in 2026. And in the holding segment, we expect earnings to remain flat. So this gives us confidence to deliver the UEPS growth at the upper end of our 6 to 8% target range in 2026, while absorbing headwinds such as FX if FX rates remain where they are today. And with that, I hand over to Thomas for the conclusion.
Thank you very much, Alban. In conclusion, we have presented today record results at the top end of our target range, while at the same time enhancing reserve prudence. You've seen that all businesses, geographies and lines of business are in excellent shape. They are delivering strong growth and profitability. And this is due to the fact that we have built a very diversified franchise that is well positioned now to capture the future growth opportunities. And we are certainly now laying the foundation for the next plan. And as I said, we are confident in delivering a sustainable earnings growth. And for 2026, this will particularly mean that we can deliver underlying earnings per share at the top end of our range, and I'm very confident that we're getting there. Thank you very much for your attention, and we are now coming to your questions.